traffic au Babel. First he's killing, then, he's not. It's in your hand, he steals your thoughts. Or dying him on, or looking down. Thought he make up, he steal you wrong.
Lo que ves, lo que no. Sueño big, working cold. Magic Cuba, Magic Cuba, yeah. Magic Cuba.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different here with this particular podcast or this episode. I really am not going to number this as an episode because I'm going to have this really more as a kind of a prologue, travelogue, if you will. So as I had headed from Houston to Cuba, there were a lot of things that were kind of going on and happening, and that just the checking in and arrival and all that kind of stuff, plus meeting up with a few people. Now, some of the things that you're going to be hearing here are not at all magic related, but maybe more travel related, and maybe not even of interest to most of you, but some of you will find this very fascinating. One of the things, for an example, is that I'm going to have an extended conversation with John Rose, who is the producer of Magic Cuba. And he is the expert also on Cuban cigars. And so for about a half hour towards the end of this episode, he gave me a thorough tour of a humidor that was in the Hotel Nacional, and talking about the different kinds and brands of cigars and how they're made, et cetera, et cetera. So some of you might find that rather fascinating, particularly if you're a cigar smoker. Also that he was the one who had written the music for the theme song called Magic Cuba. Now, I've been using and will be using that as a tag music in and out and between guests, so in and out of the podcast each day. But during this particular episode, I'm going to play it in its entirety. It's a little over 2 minutes long. It is very interesting and a lot of fun, and has a nice beat to it, and you can maybe dance to it. But anyhow, for those of you who have asked me who have attended this, if they could have a copy of it, and if I haven't gotten this to you, you can record this off of the podcast, and you will have it here. But nevertheless, it's kind of a nice little song, so we'll have a little interlude before I talk with John Rose that will play the Magic Cuba theme song in its entirety. So again, a lot of things were kind of happening here, and if you're looking for some magic in this episode, this might be one that you want to skip. But if you're kind of interested in what's happening in Cuba or thinking about traveling there, feel kind of like Rick Steves, you know, and giving a little bit of a dialogue as I'm traveling through, as I'm leaving the airport and heading to Cuba. Also that you'll hear once I arrive, a little conversation we have with the travel agent when she's gets me in the taxi and tells me a little bit about what's going on around Cuba on the way to the hotel, as well as introducing me to the driver and all that. So you kind of feel like you're with me, hopefully right beside me in the taxi as we are heading from the airport on down. So a few things that are of interest that I thought you might like, as also we go for mojitos together. So please enjoy this little bit of a travelogue, this little special, this prologue, this rather travelogue of Havana, Cuba from Houston, Texas.
Magic Cuba, Magic Cuba, yeah.
Well, we are off, or we're about to be. I'm now waiting in the Houston terminal, waiting for my magic carpet here on Southwest to carry me off to Havana, Cuba. And one nice thing is not having to get up so doggone early in the morning. This flight doesn't leave until about 10:20, so I got here in plenty of time. And I say that because, well, we just had daylight savings time that just changed. So I saved an additional hour. So I'm here well in advance of my scheduled time to fly out. I knew that, but that was okay. They said you should be here a couple hours early. I didn't know what it was going to be like trying to get through. You don't have to go through customs, obviously, on this end or anything. And I apparently didn't have to give them a lot of paperwork and visas, et cetera. I guess that might be later when I go through Fort Lauderdale, because I go from Houston, Fort Lauderdale, then straight on to Havana, getting there later this afternoon. So first things first, obviously, you go by after I've got my Southwest ticket boarding pass, then go over to Dunkin' Donuts, and let's see what the selection is today. It looks like we're going to be having, in honor of the end of October, we're going to be having a pumpkin donut and then a usual sour cream. Yeah, that's going to be good. And a good steaming cup of hot coffee. So that ought to help me get started in more ways than one and getting me going up and off. Now, the weather here has been overcast and cloudy and rainy. In fact, it was pouring down rain as I was leaving the house here this morning. And so it was raining along the way and is here now that I'm at the airport. But actually, it was dry when I got to the airport and went to the parking garage. And once I got checked in, now I see that the rain has migrated south of town. So now it's raining here at the airport. Not that you care, but anyhow, this is going to be an exciting convention because, as you had read perhaps or heard me talk about in the past, some of the people who are going to be here, gosh, I mean, it's a who's who really of the magic world who's going to be coming in. There's no place to get started easy. You know, Eric Mead, Ossie Nguyen, Mac King, Mike Caveney, Tina Lennertz, John Archer, Michael Weber, John Stetson, Norbert Ferrer, Jorge Blas, it goes on and on. There are just a ton of great names, great magicians, and great friends. I'm just looking forward to seeing everybody, learning some magic, and also greeting the people in Cuba. And they'd ask us to bring a few things along, and so I've got one of my suitcases full of a lot of stuff. I've got a bunch of things to donate to some of the people there in Cuba, so they're not able, I understand, to apparently order a lot of things online. That's another thing. That's why that this is going to be broadcast a little bit later rather than usual in real time. So this way I'm going to have to wait until I get back home to post this on the backside. But I'm looking forward to this. I hope you're excited as I am. This is going to be really cool. So until later, hasta la vista. No, I'm not going to say baby. This is Scotty out.
Magic Cuba. Magic Cuba, yeah. Magic Cuba.
Welcome to Cuba and particularly to Havana. My name is Irina. I'm the tour guide that will be escorting you to the hotel. And our driver's name is Rafael. And it's a pleasure for us to accompany you in this trip to the Hotel St. John's. So my recommendation to buy a bottle of water. That is for the best, for the good, okay. So you are going to use the convertible peso because this is the pesos in which the tourists can make can sell anything or can buy anything, whatever you want to buy.
What about euros?
Okay, so the rate is about the rate of the changing. In the of the Cuban peso, of the convertible pesos, is about 89 cents cook per $1. Okay?
For 1 euro?
No, it is not accepted euro here in this part of the city. Euro is only accepted in Baradero and other places where there are beaches. There are some resorts that accept that kind of.
Okay, yeah, because I had converted from dollars to euro. I thought they were going to take euro.
So you can change your dollars or euros in the hotel or in some changing bureaus. So you can change your money in the Cuban peso so you can make your transactions, your buy-ins, you know.
Okay.
You can use like clothes, because of our tropical weather, it is available for you to use shorts and that in many tourist places. You can visit those tourist places with that kind of clothes without problem. Okay? So it is important you know that although we live in or you are in a safe country, you need to take care. You need to take care, or you need to save your valuable things, your passport, all what you have. It's important for you.
Cash, jewelry, and all that, whatever.
Cash, okay, your cards, your visa, tourist card. Those documents should be in safe. In the hotel, you have the possibility to save those documents in a locked cases. So you don't need a passport to go out.
So once I arrive, I can put the passport in the safe in the room, and so Yeah, we don't need it again.
Mm-hmm. The passport is only useful when you are to when you are going to make the check-in in the hotel. So when you want to when you want to get money in an ATM, an automatic teller machine. But when you are using a credit card, but here in Cuba, the MasterCard is not accepted. It is not possible to use the MasterCard. But there are some shops, some store that they accept credit card from the United States. There are some different places where you can use your credit card.
Okay, okay.
Another important things you need to know is that here you may buy 50 cigars free of, you don't need a receipt.
Duty free?
Yes. 50 cigars, 2 bottles of rum, 2 liters.
Okay.
2 liters of rum or 3 bottles containing 700 milliliters
okay.
of rum. To be or to get that out of the country.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay? Okay. That's what you need to know. But if you want to buy more than 50 cigars, you need a receipt for customs proposals.
Okay, so I can buy more than 50, but I need to have the receipt when I go back through customs.
For more than 50.
Okay, do I claim that when I go back through then?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, for more than 50. So if you're going to export any painting, you need a receipt as well. Because with the special stamp, because this special stamp show that you that this painting is not part of the Cuban heritage.
Okay.
For that reason, it is important to have that kind of painting or art with a receipt.
Okay, another receipt.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay.
For the.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for the cost. When we go back in the U.S.
Okay, right. That's right. We are enjoying now fresh temperature. You can enjoy a cool temperature here in Cuba, but it's wonderful.
Yes.
So don't worry about the rain. Everything will be okay. And you, I know that you came to Cuba as part of a group of magicians.
Yes.
As well? Yeah?
Yes.
Are you a magician?
Yes, I am.
That is good. In which places will be showing your?
I think different places around town, as I understand it. I think there's going to be a place for evening shows for the public, but there will also be some other public performances in different parts of the street. I'm not sure where yet. I just know it's supposed to be an open festival for the Cuban people.
So that this is your first trip to Cuba.
It is.
And maybe you have, or maybe not, but I hope you had the opportunity, you have the opportunity to know more or to learn more about the city.
I am. I'm looking forward to it. That's why I came a little bit early, so I can learn a little bit more about it. So anything you could tell me would be helpful.
Because now you're going, we're driving to the hotel, but maybe tomorrow or the next day or the next day you have the chance to go out, make a walking around Old Havana.
Mm-hmm.
That is an attraction of this city and an attraction of the country. Because Havana was declared in 2014 as a wonder city. But in 1982, Havana was declared by UNESCO as a World Heritage. And there are treasures. There are a lot of treasures in Old Havana. You should know about the castles, about the colonial architecture. You can find them.
Okay.
So my suggestion is maybe you can have the time to make that walking. So whatever you want to ask me, you are free to do so.
It's easy to walk around. I mean, the city, I mean, will the hotel be kind of in the city area, so it's easy to walk within a mile or two, or how far around do you recommend see and do?
The hotel where you'll be staying is in the modern Havana. It's another part of Havana. It is not the old city.
Okay, it's the modern Havana.
Oh, so you need a taxi. You need a taxi to get there. Okay?
To the other hotel.
To the other
Nacional.
Part.
Okay, is that part of the old Havana? Hotel Nacional, old Havana?
No, the National Hotel is near. It's okay. Near to the hotel where you will be staying.
Okay.
It's very near. It's very near. So you can walk to the National Hotel.
Okay.
This is not a problem because Hotel Saint Joint in El Vedado, is one of the most popular places in the modern Havana. There you can find a lot of attractions, like different hotels and so many important places that belongs to the culture of the country. For example, our Institute of Television, Radio and Television is located in that place.
I see. So, to get to the old Havana, you need to take a taxi.
Yes.
Okay.
It's relative near, but you need a taxi.
Okay.
Yes, you need a taxi to get there. But when you get there, you can walk around the four squares, the four more important squares in old Havana. The Army Square, San Francisco Square, Old Square, and Cathedral Square.
Okay. And that's in Old Havana?
Mm-hmm. Old Havana. This is Old Havana.
Right.
There you are going to enjoy the city, well, the colonial city.
Right.
Of the beginning of 1560 century.
Any good restaurants nearby?
Oh, a lot of good restaurants.
Good place to eat, you recommend?
Well, I recommend in old Havana, La Moneda Cubana, the Cuban coin.
Okay.
The Cuban coin. And you can find this restaurant as La Moneda Cubana. So you say that, and you can find
Lanero
that
Cubana.
Restaurant. It's in the entrance of the Cathedral Square.
The Cathedral, okay.
Near the Cathedral Square, you can find La Bodeguita del Medio. Have you heard about that?
No.
No?
No.
Have you heard about Ernest Hemingway?
Oh, sure.
Yes?
That's why I think I look like him with the beard.
You look like Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway. Oh, there are two places, like restaurants in old Havana, that were immortalized by Ernest Hemingway. One of them was El Floridita. It was a good restaurant where Hemingway had created a special drink called Papa Noel or Papa Doble. That was the
Not
name.
Father Christmas, but
yes.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for
that. That's all
right. Papa Doble, but in Cuba we call that drink daiquiri.
Daiquiri, okay.
Okay, daiquiri was the drink created by Ernest Hemingway in that place.
Huh.
That place remained not only as a restaurant, but as a museum of the staying of Ernest Hemingway. And there is a statue of a monument of Ernest Hemingway in the place of the bar.
Oh, okay.
So it shows that he's drinking the daiquiri. And the other important place where Ernest Hemingway was La Bodeguita del Medio, where you can find or you can drink a good mojito.
I'm looking for a good mojito.
Yes? Have you drink mojito? Or
yes.
Have you drank mojito? Yes?
Yes.
Oh, the best mojito is Hemingway sat El Daiquiri in El Floridita. El mojito in La Bodeguita.
Okay.
That was Hemingway said when he was alive.
and
there are a lot of restaurants in that part of old Havana, and not only in old Havana, you can find good restaurants in the whole city.
Great. Good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Oh, it was a pleasure to give you some information. What you need to know, just ask.
Magic Cuba, yeah. Mexico.
Well, I've made it to Cuba. I'm here in Havana and just checked into my hotel after we got an opportunity then to be picked up by the person who was in charge. You just heard her giving a little bit of information about Havana and getting around and welcoming me here. And anyhow, met with the taxi and took us on in. And I, first of all, I guess my initial impression of landing as we were coming in, I took a picture outside the window and it looked like kind of a, it was an overcast day, but it wasn't really sunny, but it was getting dark. But by the time we landed, it was pouring down rain. Well, by the time that they taxied up close to the front door, and I don't mean the jetway, I'll get to that in a minute, they actually, it had stopped raining, but then realized, well, there's not a jetway. I thought they were waiting for a jetway, but no, you just board, or you can exit or board the plane, I guess, by either the front or the back and just go down the steps and carry your luggage across over there. So then I just waited until I got my visa, which was awaiting me, and so I had to wait before I went through customs to have them find my visa for me, and once that was done, then to wait for the bags. And so I've kind of gotten in the general manana kind of feeling already, that no one's really kind of in a hurry much to get things done. And I was told about that beforehand, so it's not unexpected. So I'm here just to kind of relax, and it's a good thing that I'm not in any big hurry to do anything or go anywhere, because certainly that's the case. Now, once that I've got through the customs, there was no problem or anything, and kind of was looking around, and as Adina was Alina, well, the lady who was my tour guide in the cab was showing us, after I turned off the microphone, we were talking about some of the cars. Now, there are a lot of old Chevys and everything, I mean, just as you've seen photos, and they were everywhere. It wasn't just like a few people. I'd probably say a third of the cars are these older, well-maintained vehicles from the 50s and 60s. And so it was just pretty cool to see them, nice paint jobs. And I would think, you know, down here where that you're near the seacoast and salt air, that they would be rusted. But golly, no, they keep very good care of these vehicles. And as I understand it, that they are very proud of them then as well, from the standpoint that she said, if you want to take a photo of them, you need to either pay them or that you need to take a picture secretly, because if they catch you taking a picture, then they want money for that. Similarly, apparently, that some people are dressed in more of the colorful motif of their culture in Cuba, and if you want to take a photo of them, then that costs also. So I kind of got the idea that I better carry just a wad of cash around with me to be giving out to everybody anything I want to do. I mean, even from, of course, you're at the hotel and with the bellboy and checking in and everything else. And so, yeah, it is a different culture and a different place than I've ever been, and kind of what I've expected. Now, I got here kind of late at night. I mean, it was after dark, so I'm not going to be venturing out tonight. And so anyhow, sorry, I had to pause that for just a moment. That was the bellboy bringing up toilet paper. That was kind of unusual. I check into the room, and after he left, I realized there's no tissues of any kind in the whole room. And you heard her say, I believe, also, that one of the things that I need to be wary of is drinking the water here. I don't know if I had the microphone turned off whenever that we were talking about that, but she was saying it's better to buy water at a store rather than the hotel, as most hotels obviously will charge more for phone calls and food services, etc. But anyhow, she was just saying that the drinking water is potable, certainly, but it may not meet the digestive tract of Americans. So I'm going to take her advice on that and just get some regular water when I can and where I can. So, and then kind of carry that around with me. The weather here, I'm expecting to be rather phenomenal, since it is November, so it's not going to be the heat of the summer and the humidity. I will say that outside of my air-conditioned room, when I walk into the hallway, that there is an increase in humidity tenfold, but that's to be expected, and it's the evening, and we just had rain, so I suspect that throughout the rest of this week, weather will improve, and it will not quite be as humid as what that it is right now. So that's kind of an initial impressions, you know, as we were driving around, that after I turned off the microphone, we passed Revolution Square. There was a high tower that was there, saying that that's the highest point in Havana, and a few other things that she kind of pointed out. But nevertheless, I'm looking forward to it, and it looks like it's going to be some fun. I am not in the hotel that is hosting the convention. I'm going to move over there in a few days. Once that I do, I might start to run into some other magicians, but I don't think anybody's going to be coming in quite as early as I have checked in. I'm probably one of the first registrants to arrive as well. So anyhow, I don't have anybody else to talk to but myself. I don't speak, my Spanish is not all that great, so I might have a little bit of problem. I mean, I had a few years in college and I knew un poquito, just a little bit of Spanish, but not much. Anyhow, that's all there is. I'm not going to keep droning on. Hope you will enjoy this trip as much as I am, and I will see you again a little bit later. Scotty out. Well, one of the things that I forgot to bring with me, and that was a converter. I had understood that most of the electricity down here would be 110 and 220, but everything in the room is 220, and I didn't bring a converter to convert it down to 110, but they do have one downstairs in the lobby, so I can use their converter and plug in my phone and get everything charged. Not that I'm going to be needing to use my phone or even be able to use my phone down here as well, because I don't have any data nor international service, but I will be able to certainly use my computer and start to edit some of the podcast and everything as necessary down there. Well, of course, the laptop's got a battery, but nevertheless, to charge it, I'm going to need to go downstairs to the 110. If you're going to be traveling here, that's one of the things I might suggest that you bring. Darn, I should have brought that converter, but let me suggest you bring a converter as well.
Magic Cuba. Magic Cuba, yeah.
Well, here on day one that I got up from the hotel and where I was staying, actually that I was supposed to be staying at the Hotel Verdad, and apparently it is connected with two or three other hotels, so they kept moving from one to the other. And after I finally got to the proper registration desk, realized that although I had paid for three, they only had me checked in for two. So anyhow, we will see how that works out. So I'm going to find that out in real time, and you will be able to listen to the results of that just by skipping forward to a later update. Anyhow, so I thought I would take a little walk around, the weather being beautiful as it is, probably about 80-something. Partly cloudy day, mostly sunny, and just taking a stroll around downtown, and I thought I'd go check out the Hotel Nacional, which is where the convention will begin in a couple of days. And the difference is day and night. As you can imagine, the difference between a $90 a night hotel and a $250 a night hotel, big difference. Nevertheless, so as I'm reporting this right now, I'm actually sitting in the lobby because it's a lot cooler in here than it is outside. But while I was walking around, I was looking for a market where I could find some bottled water. And eventually I did. But along the way, people are extremely friendly and anxious to help you in any way that they can. I am assuming for a fee. I kind of felt like I was being hustled because this one fella picked me up and was showing me around and insisted on walking to show me one thing or another, and nevertheless eventually got to an open-air market where he took me to a friend of his who was selling cigars, and you could get a box of 25 Cohibas for, I believe it was $120, and then if you wanted Robustos, they were $150, and then also the Romeo and Julietas were $200. I really wasn't interested because I was told not to buy cigars from just street vendors. And then later took me to a different guy, and he wanted to haggle me down to, for the same kind of cigars, let's say for the Romeo and Julietas, to $100. He said, "Is that not cheap enough? How about $70? It's like, is there any price? Do you want? No, they're probably not real. So anyhow, continued to look around and at the rest of the vendors. Pretty much one of those kinds of things that once you've seen one, you've seen them all. That a lot of hand-carved types of wooden things, mostly ashtrays for cigars.
and a lot of local art. I was going to say some look like some African art, wood carved things, mahogany or whatever. But a lot of neat little puzzle boxes that you could pull apart that are difficult to get into, and one of those things you can bet your friend that they can't get into it within 5 seconds. And anyhow, just kind of a cute little thing, about $5, and a nice inlaid parquet kind of a thing. Anyhow, so there were just some other things around the open market, but most everything was, again, the same. Some leather goods, leather wallets. Refrigerator maggots, and then a plethora of silver jewelry. So anyhow, that's kind of all for now. It's about high noon on Monday, which is November the 5th, and that's about all there is to report. I'm going to have another drink of water. Oh, one thing I did forget to mention, and that is the breakfast that was included, and I ended up getting a souffle, because that's the only thing that I knew what it was. I saw him break the eggs and make it. The rest of the mystery food was just that. I wasn't certain what it was, even with an English description of the words. Nothing particularly looked appetizing, but I did sample about half a dozen different kinds of things, and that was enough. I didn't have a lot of flavor in what they were offering, so just had the eggs and some bread and cheese. And a cup of coffee. So, no big culinary delight for breakfast.
Magic Cuba. Magic Cuba, yeah. Magic Cuba.
Well, Scott Wells here for the Magic Word Podcast, and we're out and about now today in Old Havana. Took a negotiator to deal with a taxi driver, taking me down to Floridita. Now, Floridita is apparently where Ernest Hemingway used to hang out. In fact, you'll see on the website a picture I posted of him in bronze leaning up against the bar there. And not only did he hang out there, as I understand it, that this was where they made the first daiquiri. The sign says it's the cradle of the daiquiri, so it's where it was founded. So had to have a couple of those, and my, they were fine. My, they were fine. And then they had a Cuban sandwich also, which was tasty. And then, of course, that was at the recommendation of my tour guide whenever I first arrived. And the other recommendation that she had made, as well as someone else, was to try the place where it's the home of the mojito. So here we are right now, as you're hearing the music in the background also, at La Bodeguita El Medio. La Bodeguita del Medio. There we go. And it's a small bar, probably only holds about, looks like there are about maybe 20 of us in here, and it's pretty well packed. And the bartender is just making 12 of these at a time. He's got somebody who's working the back bar, kind of starting the mix for the mojito, and then he's pouring all of the Havana Club rum into this and mixing them up. And it is fun to watch, and it's fun just to be here. A lot of stuff going on. And have time for another short smoke. So I had another Havana cigar. And, you know, it's interesting. Whenever I went into Floridita, they had a band playing there also. And as I walked in, what are they playing? But Girl from Ipanema, which was my favorite song that always reminded me of my late wife, Kathy. So even though she can't be here with me, I feel like she's here in spirit. This may not have been her cup of tea and her place of where she would want to come on vacation, but I know that she would have enjoyed it. And so anyhow, hope you guys are kind of enjoying this little bit of travelogue also, as we're kind of going around and trying some different foods and different restaurants. I will say last night was kind of fun having dinner with Bill Ragsdale and his family, because his wife had the lobster, which was a little bit overcooked in my opinion, a little bit tough. I had the grilled shrimp, which is really basically boiled shrimp. I don't think it was grilled. And his daughter had fish, which was delicious. And
then Bill had some pulled pork, which was okay also. So anyhow, and then we had some flan for dessert. So just got to keep up with my culinary adventures as we're going around Havana. So again, right now we're in Old Town Havana. Here it is on Tuesday, the 6th, and tomorrow the Magic Cuba will begin on the 7th. So until later, Scotty out. All right, now we're going to have the full song of Magic Cuba, so there'll be just a few moments of silence, and then following that, we'll have a conversation with John Rose.
Fuego en el agua, luz que voló, realidad de tu ilusión. Atraparlo, hacerlo flotar,
sacar del sombrero un conejo lunar. Lo que ves, lo que no. Do you blink? Where did he go? Magic Cuba, Magic Cuba, che. Magic Cuba, Magic Cuba, ve.
First he's here, and then he's not. He's in your hand, he steals your thoughts. Or dying him on, or looking down. But he may have kissed you wrong.
Lo que ves, lo que no. So you blink, where he go? Magic Cuba, Magic Cuba, yeah. Magic Cuba, Cuba,
movimiento veloz que a la vista vence, gira, deslumbra, juega en tu mente.
Vaya imposible si pestañeas,
un paso de magia te cambia de escena. Lo que ves, lo que no. Magic Cuba, che. Magic Cuba, Magic Cuba, fe. Magic Cuba, Magic Cuba, che.
Well, I am now here with John Rose, one of the organizers. We'll talk with him more about the organization later, but right now we're actually in a humidor downstairs in the hotel, and he's telling me a little bit about the cigar. So tell me about some that you can only buy here. Tell me again.
Yeah, this is far more important than any of the magic we're going to be talking
exactly.
about later
let's talk
on.
Cigars.
Let's talk about cigars, okay? We're in Cuba, for crying out loud. No, what I was saying is that, you know, there are a lot of famous cigar brands, and that a lot of, if you're a cigar lover, you're very familiar with most of them. When you're in Cuba, and you're in any of the specialty stores that sell cigars in Cuba, you can get some special cigars you can't get anywhere else. And so I was just simply saying, if you see this little ribbon that says La Casa del Habano, and we're in a La Casa del Habano right now at the basement of the Hotel Nacional, then these are cigars you can only get here. They're made for this particular chain of stores.
Now, this is by the state or private?
It's all state, but of course they have a joint venture with a British tobacco organization.
Okay.
This is all state-run. Okay, so they own all of these stores. So within the various labels, like this is a Romeo and Julieta, and this one happens to be a Romeo and Julieta Cedros Deluxe, and these are only available in Casa de Habanos around the world. So that's what you'll get. In some cases, you'll
so they are available other places other than just Havana.
At other casas around the world, they're made specifically for their own chain of stores.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so it's a it's a Romeo and Julieta, but made specifically for the Casas, a version, a particular size, or what they call a vitella, okay, which is the size of cigar.
Okay.
All right, so that's this may be, so this is a good find for you if you're interested. If you like Romeo and Julietas, and you'll never have had this before.
And, I haven't had some.
And of course, in the United States, you can't get any of these.
Nope.
But even around the world, it's difficult to find the ones that are just for the Casas.
Okay, I'm going to put one of those aside. I want one of those.
So that's interesting. The you know, there's so many great cigars here. The Joya del Monterrey. There's several different.
Those are like Robusto size.
Well, these are like over here. These are Petit Robustos. These are the Epicure Especial, which are just a little bit bigger than the usual Epicures. And I'm looking for the Epicure number 2, which is probably my favorite go-to cigar. And yeah, here's the Epicure number 2. For years and years, they came unbanded. You didn't even know they were, you know, other than the Joya box. And I kind of liked it like that. But now they have these bright, beautiful Joya bands on them. But the Epicure number 2 is probably one of the greatest go-to cigars. Hoyas are a medium cigar. They're not too heavy.
Okay. Now, would you say like an everyday cigar, or that's okay.
This, I mean, like if I was stuck on a desert island and I had no other cigars
really?
To smoke, I would probably, and I could pick one box, I would probably pick the Epicure number 2.
Now, why is Cohiba, that's the one that seems to be the popular brand that is hard to get. Is that a better cigar, or is it just that somehow or another they had good branding?
Well, Cohiba is a great cigar, and what generally what distinguishes one cigar from another is the quality of the tobacco or the part of the plant that they pick for that tobacco, because there's a strength.
There are no stems or anything in
it. Well, it's not just that. It is, for example, the they don't just harvest the whole plant. They pick from the plant over time, and so you get different strengths in the leaves.
Interesting.
Okay, as
Cohiba
they,
does.
Well, all of them, and they're all what you're getting is a blend. It's like a
wine.
It's like a wine or a scotch or you know, if you have a blend, they're picking various tobaccos. One for combustion, one for flavor, and then you have a wrapper, okay, which is really, for most part, decorative, unless it's an aged wrapper.
Are these Cuban wrappers also? I mean, everything's all made here.
Everything is here.
Okay. Hmm.
In fact, you go to the plantations, the wrapper plantations are really interesting because they're covered with cotton gauze because they don't want too much sun exposure because it makes the tobacco too veiny. And what you want is a nice, smooth, and elastic leaf that they can wrap around the outside. And that's what's give you the presentation of the cigar.
And that's what I guess when I go on this factory tour, they'll probably talk about that.
You're going to see all of those stages, and you'll see them rolling it. And it's going to be a fascinating tour because there's almost no sound there other than people reading to the workers.
Now, I've heard that. Yeah. Like the workers are rolling, and there's someone that's reading classics.
Well, it could be the classics, it could be the daily newspaper, it could be the sports section, it could be whatever.
So it's not listening to radio, they're listening to someone speaking.
They're listening to someone telling them stories. And that's the lore is that that's where some of the most famous brands came from. They were reading the story about Romeo and Juliet, and they created the brand Romeo and Julieta.
That's a great story.
The Count of Monte Cristo, Monte Cristo.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that is the legend of some of those brands. I don't know if it's true or not, but it
makes a good story.
It makes a good story. But you're asking about the Cohibas. I think that the Cohiba is a great cigar. But you know, when you're in Havana and there's so many great cigars.
Why go with that then, huh?
I think, you know, I don't know if it's worth the premium that they charge for it. I think it's more about they deciding that it's worth more money than others.
The branding, like I said.
But I can tell you that they are the reflex purchase for the Asian community that descends upon Havana.
That's
so the Chinese come in and basically buy all of the high-end Cohiba and Bahique, which you don't see any of them here now. If I want them, I have to tell them in advance to hold a few boxes for me. The Bahique are the top end of the Cohiba brand and the most expensive cigar by stick. Even in Havana, the Bahique 56 is about $33-$34 per stick.
Wow.
Okay. Whereas the range of cigars that you can purchase here goes from just a few dollars per stick to all the way up to that.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're looking at Cohiba, we're looking at Monte Cristo, we're looking at
Upman's.
Trinidad. Yeah, there's Robina. Robina is really interesting. I met the Robina. There's a lot of farms.
Never heard of that.
There's a lot of farms here, and one is run by the family because they didn't take away farms from the people. They didn't take any property away from the people
during
the Revolution. And if you lived here, you kept it, and even the farmers kept it. They, of course, only have one customer now.
Steak. Yeah. Okay.
But the Robina family, in fact, one of the sons or the grandson runs one of the other Casa del Habanos over on Fifth Avenue here, and you should maybe check that out. That's a nice one. If we get a chance, we'll run over there.
Okay.
They make a great cigar. It's a very limited range, and you don't see it a lot. My brother and I like to buy them because it's a big R on the label, and my last name happens
Rose.
To be Rose.
Yes.
Great cigar, and I met the old man before he died, the patriarch of the family, and he had a lot of great stories to tell about before and after the revolution and all about cigar making.
And Castro coming in, I expect.
Exactly.
Exactly. Smoking a cigar.
Yeah, I can tell you a lot of stories I've been hearing over the years from the Cuban Missile Crisis all the way up. But if you get the Vegas Urbina, they have the Famoso. Let me see if they've got that. I can't see the names. That's the Non Plus. But the Famoso is the basically the Robusto size, and that's a really great
nice cigar.
But all of them are really good. I have a good preference for the Trinidad line. For years, this was Fidel's cigar before they made it commercially available. And this particular Trinidad, the Fundadore, is the cigar that he smoked before he stopped.
Is that like a Churchill size?
It's a little thinner than that. It's a little longer and a little thinner. This was his favorite cigar. I met him in 2002 on my first trip here, because I was coming here for the cigar festival, and it was he and Compe Segundo, which is a very famous musician here who's also passed away. But he would show up and he would sign humidors, and then they would auction them off.
Mm-hmm.
And another friend of mine created that years ago, which is the idea of, why don't we hold an auction and we'll raise money for the Cuban healthcare system.
Okay.
So it was an auction thing, and so Fidel would show up, sign some humidors, and they'd auction them off. And I'm going, well, $25,000 seems like a lot of money for a humidor. But now I go, well, you know, if you go to the cigar dinner now, some of the humidors are very elaborate, and they sell for as much as 500,000 euro.
What?
Some of them with remote controls and drawers that open up, and they spin around and light up. And and they're packed with cigars sometimes that you can't get anywhere else.
Right.
And so the big collectors around the world come in and descend. They even call on the phone during the auction. And mostly it's people in the business, and they bring them in, they put them in the humidors, or they sell them to certain Middle Eastern people who have the kind of money that I do not have. The Trinidad range is fantastic. This one was launched just a couple of years ago, the Vigia, and this is one of my favorite cigars. It's really a great cigar. It's a special cigar.
For like an after-dinner kind of a thing, or with scotch?
The Trinidads aren't too heavy, but they're a little stronger than say the Hoyas, and this is a really phenomenal cigar. It's a little bit wider gauge, and it has a really full flavor. And John Stetson loves these; these are his favorites as well. And then you've got some other brands you may never have heard of in other parts of the world, like La Rañaga or sometimes the San Cristobal de Habana. You may not have seen those. The cigars are like wine. So, everybody asks, what's your favorite cigar? But it really depends on what have I eaten? How much time do I have? What am I drinking?
That's exactly right. And the other day I was at a bar and I thought, well, I'm going to have about 20 minutes here, so I'll just have a short one.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What they are doing is you'll notice that they're making a lot more wider gauge cigars that are shorter because they know that people, especially since various smoking bans are coming in over the years, that people don't have as much time to smoke, but they still want that full flavor rather than a small, thin cigar. They have smaller, like petite Robustos and things like that to give you more of a fuller flavor.
Okay.
Another great cigar here is the the Partagas Series D number 4, also a great go-to. Again, a Robusto-sized cigar. This is a little stronger. That's why I tend to defer towards the Hoya as my
personally
cigar
more of
choice.
A medium.
Yeah, but it's for in the Partagas range. There's a lot of great cigars. It's a big range of cigars. It's probably their biggest selling cigar. But the number 4 is a really good go-to cigar. So in your humidor, if you're looking to start a humidor, between the Hoya Epicure number 2 and the Partagas Series number 4, you should have these two cigars in your humidor. It's kind of like when somebody's telling you, what should you have in your collection of wine? There's certain go-tos you should just always have. And they're also reasonably priced cigars. They're not at the highest end of things. These Partagas are $6.95 a stick. So And the CUC is roughly equivalent to a dollar, although they give you a little bit of a penalty when you exchange here.
American currency, right?
The embargo and penalty. But for $6.95, that's a great cigar.
That part, because I see that has a red label on too, so that's just going to be a Paso de Habana.
Exactly. Those Culebras. But, you know, those are a very strange cigar. I'll show you those in the case outside. Have you ever seen them? It's three cigars.
Yes, I have. Twisted. Yes,
right,
that is
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bizarre cigar to
deal with.
It's
like the way sometimes grapevines will grow.
Exactly. And then you're supposed to take them apart and smoke them individually, although every once in a while you'll see somebody trying to light up all three at the same time. Partagas has sort of a varying packaging profile. I am on the search for Partagas Presidentes, which somehow have mysteriously disappeared. It's kind of like that. You know, people come in. When something starts to become a little rarer, people buy them out.
And
then you can't find them, and you got to try to hunt them down. But I don't see.
Where's Romeo and Juliet plantation? Where is it here in Cuba?
Well, the plantations are not divided by brand.
Oh.
Okay. And in fact, when you go to the cigar factories, you might be in the Partagas factory, but no longer do they only make Partagas there.
Oh.
Because what they've learned is that before when the factories were established, they were owned by different companies.
Mm-hmm.
So they made their cigars, and Romeo and Juliet made their cigars, and so forth. But now what they've realized is it goes by the skill of the roller. So if the roller can make a great Robusto-sized cigar, why doesn't he roll the Partagas? Why doesn't he roll the Romeo and Juliet? Why doesn't he roll in those particular sizes? Because that's the skill set of a Tercedor, the rolling. Okay, some are very expert at very thin cigars. Some are expert at bigger cigars. Some are expert at certain what's called figurados, which means they're, you know, most cigars that you see today are pretty straight, rounded at one end, cut at the other, and then you open up one end to smoke it.
Right.
But figurados have a shape to both ends.
Mm-hmm. Like a torpedo.
Well, but at both ends. Okay. I mean, a torpedo is also is a figurado because it means it's a shaped cigar, but a figurado oftentimes has two tapered ends. Or sometimes a little bit more bulbous at one side than on the other. And that takes a different kind of skill set to roll.
Okay.
So what they learned is, well, if we've got someone rolling great Robustos over in this factory, let's have them roll the Robustos at this factory. If they're rolling a particular Figurado over here, why don't we have them roll all the Figurados for all the different brands? They'll use different tobaccos. So the tobacco profile will be different. The flavor profile will be different. But it's the shape and size that takes the skill of the roller.
And I assume that there must be someone who is a taster to say, okay, this qualifies as this brand and this taste... for this one.
Right. They've got blenders who determine the blend of tobaccos that they use and the combination of tobaccos that they use.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I mean, and it's a whole thing. You know, like the Bajiques that I was talking about before, they take just the top leaves, the very young leaves at the very top of the plant at a particular time during the harvest. You know, it's there's a whole skill set to it.
Interesting.
And they bring all that flavor together into these different cigars.
Okay.
This is an interesting Upman, because you were asking about the Upmans before. For years, when we would come down here, because I've been coming down here for about 15, 16 years and coming to the Cigar Festival, and I'd try to come in early because they didn't really control the inventory in such a way that they would bring the oldest cigars out. They would sometimes take the newest cigars, put them on the shelf, and push the old cigars to the back. So we'd all come down. And we would turn the boxes over, and in those days, they didn't even put the years and dates. They had codes. And we had cheat sheets that we had somehow gleaned from different sources to tell us what factory it was made from and what the year was and all that kind of stuff, so because we had a list of the particular cigars we were looking for. And sometimes, if we're looking really hard, we'd find 12, 14-year-old cigars, which have kept well.
I was going to say, do they keep, like, wine?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've smoked pre-embargo.
Wow.
Cigars in the U.S., so it means they got into the U.S. before the ban, so that means prior to 1961, 62, and as long as they've been kept properly humidified and, you know, not, you know, messed with too much, they smoke well, and I've smoked, so you can smoke a 50-year-old cigar. Mm-hmm. And also, these cigars tend to sort of cross-pollinate a little bit. Some of the flavor profile changes and shifts based on proximity to the other cigars. It's a, you know, you only learn that from people who keep humidors, big humidors, over a period of time. But you get that. This one, now, when I was saying we used to dig back for all these old boxes of cigars, you can't find them anymore. They got hip to that. Now what they do is their older cigars, they repackage as añejados, and that means that they're extra aged. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you see Añejado is the same derivative as añejo. You might see it like for a rum, mm-hmm. which means an aged rum, añejo, okay. older. And so this is a specially aged box of Upmans. And so this would have been like 11, it looks like, but 2011. And I've got a couple of these boxes. They're smoking really, really nicely right now. And this is a Robusto-sized cigar. This is a good cigar to grab.
How much does that run?
And these aren't that expensive. They're $8.60 for an extra-aged cigar, an Upman.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's reasonable. And I've got a few boxes of these. They're really good. The Royal Robustos, I was here when those launched, you know, maybe about 7 or 8 years ago. Those are a really nice cigar. I mean, there's so many great ones.
Is there a good, like, a sampler box or something that, like, I well, we can give as a gift or something?
I think we were looking at, they do have a Robusto sampler. I don't know if I saw it. This is a Pyramida selection, and this is a Robusto selection. Okay, yeah, so these are two samplers. These are sealed, so I'm not going to open them up. But right. What this will mean is it's got a selection Robustos. So you've got each of these different brands. So you've got a Robusto Monte Cristo, Partagas, Upman,
Cohiba.
And Romeo and Giulietta, and Joya de Monterrey.
Mm-hmm.
So and a Cohiba. So it starts. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yeah,
6.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing in Pyramida. So
no,
these
Pyramida. That's more of a torpedo
yeah,
shape. Okay.
Basically, yeah. There is a distinction between Pyramida and torpedo, but it's pretty much the same
okay.
thing. I mean,
there's double lift's a double lift.
Well, it's the shape of the point. Basically, mm-hmm. some are a little bit duller point, some are a little bit more sharper.
Okay.
So, but mm-hmm. but these are Pyramidas in the classic sense, and so these are two sampler sets, and so for
what do they run?
They're both 102. $102.60, and so that's five cigars. It's a little pricey.
Yeah.
It's a little pricey for a sampler. Comes in a nice little gift box and things like that. But, you know, I think it's probably more expensive than it needs to be.
All right.
That goes there. That goes there.
A lot to choose from.
Yeah. If you're looking for something different to try, if you haven't smoked a Trinidad before, this is interesting, and they come in, this is just a box of probably 10, 12. And these are a little bit pricier, but $8.30, not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what you'd pay anywhere else, I mean, it's just, this is a great cigar. I would get, if you're looking, I would get that. I would get, if you see the Famosos in the Robina, do that. I would, I think the Partagas Series D number 4, the Joya de Monterrey Epicure number 2, those are great cigars. And if you want to see what all of them look like, come out and look in the case. There's most everything they have available in the humidor, they'll have on display. So you can, and they're all on.
You can buy individual sticks, sure.
And you can buy individual sticks here, so you can try one out. You know,
mm-hmm.
In fact, that's a great way to do it. If you're here for a little while, grab a bunch of different sticks, try them out, figure out which you like the best. You got to pace yourself a little bit because, you know, obviously after you get to the third cigar, it's kind of hard to figure out the flavor,
sure.
the complexity of the flavor
yeah,
and the differences.
Yeah.
But, sometimes when we're here on our cigar trips, we'll have 7, 8, 9 cigars a day. And
wow.
By the end of the day, your tongue is thick and you don't really,
wow.
It's very difficult to tell one cigar from another.
Right.
Just like a good wine at a dinner, mm-hmm. do the best wine first because after a while,
doesn't matter.
It's kind of hard to taste the
right,
difference.
Right.
These are the Robinas. So here's the Famosos. Try one of the Famosos. That I think you'll like that.
That was the one you said they didn't have in there.
I think it was up there. I just didn't see the side of the box, so I couldn't read the label. But if it's here, it's probably there. But you can ask.
Okay.
And then you've got the Romeo and Juliet's, your favorite.
Yep.
And then back here you've got the Upmans and the Trinidads. So that's the Fundadori back there. These are the Vigias here. For a great little cigar, if you like little short cigars, it's like sometimes during the day or
mm-hmm.
if you don't have a lot of time to smoke, these little Reyes. Trinidad Reyes are a great cigar. That's probably for small cigars. That's one of my go-tos. And then you've got the Fonsecas, and of course, if you really got a strong stomach,
go for the Bolivars.
Pretty heavy. That's definitely an after dinner cigar. You know, if you have a great big steak dinner,
yeah.
And you got a full belly, you can, you know, the Bolivars are a strong cigar. They're known as being pretty powerful, and especially something like this is the Libertador, and that's a hefty cigar. And that's pretty much it.
Good.
Thank you. You get a lot of specialty packaging, you know, cigars that come in, you know, fun.
Look like slipcases. Yeah, bookcase.
Fun, mm-hmm. These books that they call them. You get a lot of humidors. You get a lot of, you know, things like that. They sell some fine rums here as well. So you've got.
I noticed upstairs they had like a good selection of some rums and some wines.
Not my favorites. For some reason, there's a problem with bottles, I'm told, by Cuba Ron, who's one of our sponsors. You're going to the cigar dinner tonight.
Oh, yeah.
They're sponsoring our cigar dinner, and so we may get some rums that aren't available in the stores right now because they've got plenty of rum, not enough bottles.
They
import the bottles, the rum they make here.
Yeah.
So Santiago is a great rum. You know, I'm sure you've heard of Havana Club.
Yes, and a lot of that already since I've been here.
And Havana Club has got great distribution around the world, not in the U.S., of course, but great distribution around the world, so it's the most famous. But, you know, the rums run kind of like the island, okay, from dark to light, okay? Mm-hmm. Remember, Santiago is closer to Haiti, okay? Havana is closer to Miami.
Okay. All right.
So the island goes from dark to light, and so do the rums. The rum making on Santiago side is the darker rum, and it's, you know, that the more syrupy, sweeter rum, and, whereas the complexion of the Havana Club is a little more crisp and it's a lighter color.
Yeah, because I got some of the dark rum that was gay rum or something when I was down in Jamaica.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah, Mount Gay, I think.
Mount Gay, that was
Something like that. You know, any of those really, you know, rich rums, Panama rums and things like that are a little bit more caramely and sweet. So my favorite is the Santiago 11, Santiago Once, and... I just can't find
good
it.
Good again.
I can't.
When you find it.
But tonight, I think we're going to corner the Cuba Ron guys and just try to shake.
If I could buy
a case of that, I would do it in a heartbeat.
And we're limited as what we can bring back to the States. Not only in rum, we get a couple of liters, as well as I think up to 56.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Unless you're really good at hiding.
I don't want to go there, literally. So, good. John, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
For
the rest of you guys who are listening on this about, learn a lot about cigars over here. Wow, that's interesting. The Magic Word Podcast, that was John Rose, and we were here at the, what's it called?
Casa de Libanos in the Hotel Nacional.
This is Scotty out.